You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Right, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to James chapter 5. We're going to start a little bit earlier in the service with the message so that we can be ready to go for our ending time, for us to have some worship time and prayer time as well. But James chapter 5 is where we're going to be. Right now in this time period that we're in, things are wrapping up. There's been car parades for the seniors with all their cars decorated. There is graduations coming up. There's things that are ending and getting ready for summer and our summer plans and all that. Well, we are concluding today the book of James. We're going to finish it up. We've been through the entire book of James this semester, and it's been an incredible, incredible study. And so just in way of review, I just want us to take us chapter by chapter for a moment. Then we'll jump into James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And so here we have in James chapter 1, see if you remember these as I give you a little aided recall on the illustrations that we use. Remember in James chapter 1, we talked about the building blocks, and we had Legos. We had a Lego fair for all of our kids, and they put together Legos, which is awesome. And this one was a great one with the cross there. So beautiful. Then James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, you get into faith and works and that big debate. And we used a quote from C.S. Lewis along with the scripture of which blade of a scissors is more important to symbolize faith or works, which is more important. You need both of them together. James chapter 3 was heavenly wisdom or earthly wisdom. And if you were here, you remember this one. We had Fiji water because we all want to go to Fiji one day. Fiji water symbolized heavenly wisdom. And then the other water bottle was water from the ditch in front of my house was the other one. And so that symbolized earthly wisdom. Do we want it from earth or do we want it from the heavenly Fiji Islands to be able to have? James chapter 4, that our life is just a vapor, that all the wealth that we have, that all the accomplishments we have, of all the things that we've done, it's just a mist. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow, but we can make a huge eternal difference in that. And then last week, James chapter 5, Mother's Day, I used four t-shirts to explain mom and to be able to be in the scripture of James as well, talking about that, James chapter 5. And at the last service, I gave the t-shirts away and there was a line for the t-shirt of mom battery low. That one had a huge line. Everybody's like, I want that one. I need a low battery. Nobody was buying Bibles. Everybody was wondering, where can I buy that t-shirt? That's what they were asking. So moms, hang in there. That was James chapter 5. And we're going to conclude today, James chapter 5, and we're going to look and we're going to see the importance of prayer. This whole thing of this conclusion is about prayer. That's what it's about. Now, whenever you talk about prayer, every one of us do this. We say, oh, that's so important, and I wish I did it more. Right? That's what we all want. Oh, it's so important and I need to pray more. So we should. Let's pray more after this message to be able to continue on in our week. James was such a prayer warrior. He was the head of the church of Jerusalem, but they called him Old Camel Knees. That's what they called him. His nickname in church tradition was Old Camel Knees. Ladies, wouldn't you love that to be your nickname as grandma? Wouldn't you like that? Be Old Camel Knees. No. The reason why is because he spent so much time on his knees that his knees became calloused. And so James was such a prayer warrior. And so what we're going to see today is we're going to see the inworking of his heart coming out in his ministry. Matthew put it like this, the overflow of the heart, the mouth shall speak. You don't want to be preaching better than you're living. You want to be living in a deep way as a believer in Christ, that how you're living is coming out, how you're walking with God is coming out in how you're living. And that's what we can secure in James. James is a prayer warrior. So when we look at prayer here, we're going to be able to say, he really did it. This really makes sense. So look in James chapter 5, if you got your Bible. If you don't, we'll put it up on the screen for you. Grab your listening guide as well, and we'll be able to take some notes along the way. And here we go, James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. If anyone among you is suffering, he should pray. If anyone is cheerful, he should sing praises. If any one of you is sick, he should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Let's stop right there. Here's the first thing James wants us to know. Make prayer your first response, not your last resort. Make prayer your first response, not your last resort. Even atheists pray in foxholes. So we don't want it to be our last resort. We want it to be our first response. So he basically gives us all things in life. He says, if you're suffering, pray. If you're in a good spot, praise. What is praise? It's just a prayer of just, yeah. If you're sick, pray and call upon the leaders of the church to pray as well. We want to have prayer as our first response. This suffering can be physical. It can be spiritual. It can be mental, emotional, but the solution is the same. Pray that we turn to God. Our series that we're talking about is two, T-O-O-O. We are, I think just two O's. I added an extra O there. Sorry. I can spell two, T-O-O. Okay. Just got excited. And we've talked about being too greedy. We've been talking about two, all sorts of things. And this is asking the question, are we too confident? See, the reason we don't pray is not because we're too busy. The reason we don't pray is because we're too confident. And we've got to realize that we need God in our cheerfulness. We need God in our good times. We need God in our sufferings. We need God in our challenges. We need God in every aspect. So we want to embrace a lifestyle of prayer and praise, talking to God in every aspect of life. But our response oftentimes when we suffer is to not pray, but to complain. We're upset with God because of what's happening. Our praise time, and we have good times coming, and it isn't often to praise. Instead, we say, look at what a good job I did, or look at how the economy is, or look at how this has happened. And instead, we need to say, thank you, God, for every aspect you've given me. So I want to praise you, God, in good times, and I want to pray to you in good times and in bad times as well, and let God use that in our lives. Prayer is our first response, not our last resort. In our church-wide devotional, we do a church-wide devotional where every person in the church, hopefully you bought one. If not, you can get it at Corner Books, at Cypress, or at the Loop campus as well. And so get it. And we're all reading the same devotional every day. And it just brings unity in our church. It's a great way. Well, a couple weeks ago, we had this. It said in our church devotional, it said, God is either providing or planning a provision. So what we're praying for, he's either providing, praise God, or planning a provision, asking God. So we want to put all these things together. So James, old camel knees, Jimmy, he says, I'm going to be a prayer warrior and I'm going to seek the Lord in prayer. Verse 14 and 16 through 16 is kind of the most famous part of this section of scripture. And it says this, if any one of you is sick, he should call upon the elders of the church. And the elders of the church are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the faithful will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is a very powerful in its effect. The way I memorized that verse was, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so here's our point for this. James is saying, I want you to be in your prayer closet, no doubt about it. I want you to invite God into your life, but I also want you to invite your spiritual family into your life. So we're to invite God into our spiritual family into our journey. So he says, I want you to pray with other folks. I want you to call upon the elders of the church. I want you to be able to confess your sins to one another so they can pray for you in a more educated fashion. We're better together. We are designed for community. In sickness and in health, the church rallies together. People will come and visit you at the hospital, bring you a casserole to your house. You'll do the same for somebody else. We join together in those ways. We live in community. We bear one another's burdens. Now, this place here where it talks about praying for healing and anointing with oil. I want you to know in the Greek, the prayer part is like all caps, 16 font, okay? And then the anoint part is like normal letters, 12 font. So it's like pray and anoint with oil. The emphasis in this whole section, and particularly this, is in prayer. It's not the magic of some oil. It is prayer that we say, God, we want you to heal the loved one that we have. We want you to heal our body. Let me tell you what, if you've never prayed for healing for someone, you just haven't had someone close enough to you to pray for. Because when someone you love gets sick, you are going to call out on God, asking God. Now this oil, it is medicinal, meaning medical in those days. If you were to look into Luke chapter 10, you would find in Luke 10 verse 34, the story of the Good Samaritan. And it says that they took him and he went over to him, the Good Samaritan did, bandaged his wound and poured oil and wine on his wound. So it was used for healing. So there's a medicinal aspect of this. Other places in scripture, you'll see that there's a place for anointing of kings, that they pour oil on their head and it runs down their beard. So oil in the scriptures is symbolic of the presence of God. This is important. And it's also medicinal in the use of God. Now, here's what I want you to get. Prayer and anointing with oil. What do? Do we pray and not go to a doctor? Absolutely not. We pray and we go to the doctor. We put these two things together. And so Luke says, look, I want you to pray, because even the prayers, that gives doctors wisdom. Pray, but I also want you to have a medicinal aspect as well. So if you're in a place where you're sick, yes, go to the doctor. Absolutely. Get your checkups. No doubt about it. Do those tests. We don't have just oil nowadays. We can do MRIs. We can do CAT scans. We can do surgeries. We got the medical center in Houston, Texas. I mean, we understand medicine. So there is prayer and there's medicine, and God can bring healing. He can bring it miraculously. He can bring it medically, and he can bring it in heaven, right? We fear praying about healing because it feels like it could get weird real quick for us, and that makes us nervous. Now, TV preachers have kind of cleaned it up a little bit in recent years, but you go back about 20 years ago when cable TV was started and we were watching that, you'd watch and you'd see, and there'd be some crazy stuff happening on TV of healing. They'd knock people down with their jackets. They'd have people falling all over the place. I mean, it was just like you're watching going, no way. And what it did is for the Christian that's wanting to follow the word, sometimes it makes us pull back a little bit where we get a little bit afraid, like, I don't know if I want to do crazy like that. I want to do biblical, but this seems like this isn't biblical anymore. This seems to be a bit much of what's going on here. Well, I remember I was a youth ministry intern. So that meant I reported to the custodian that reported to the youth minister that reported to the youth minister. Just kidding. Great youth minister. He led me to Christ, actually. I reported directly to him. But I was in Dallas, Texas area, DeSoto, Texas, southwest part of Dallas. And I would go for the summers, and I would be a youth intern there for the summers. And it was awesome. Made a whopping $100 a week. So that was great. And so I was intern, had a great time, wonderful time. And so this church family said, hey, would you like to go with us to a prayer service? And I said, sure. They said, well, why don't you jump in the car? We'll pick you up at such and such time. We're going to go down to this convention center area, this event center, or whatever it is. And so I got there, and I'm a youth minister. I'm in shorts. I'm in a t-shirt. And so we get there and the worship's great. And man, they started praying. I mean, they were praying. I never prayed like that before. I mean, most of the time, the places I'd been to pray, kind of one person prays at a time. We all bow our heads, that one person prays. If we all pray, we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And these were like, pray to the east, woo, and we're praying to the east. Pray to the west, woo, we're praying to the west. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Where are we going next? So I'm up for it. It's good. And we're just praying. I mean, we're praying. I'm like, this is good. We're praying. And then all of a sudden we get to this moment where we're going to pray for healing. And I'm standing there in a shirt and shorts, and my shirt, this will date me, was the old Reebok slogan. It said, life is short, pray hard. Okay. Not play hard. That was their slogan. It was a game off that, pray hard. So I'm standing there. Youth minister. I've been outside a lot. So I'm, you know, ready to go. Tan. Got my shirt, and the guy, he's calling out, we're going to pray over here, and we're going to pray over there, and he's calling people out. And then, you know, there's that moment where you feel like somebody locks eyes with you, and you go, dear God, no. Dear God, no. Dear God, no. Please, no, Lord. No, Lord. I'd rather be sick. You. Me? You. What's your shirt say? Life's short. Pray hard. I like that. You've been athletic your whole life. You've always been good at sports, but something's been holding you back. And right now you're being healed in the name of Jesus right now, being healed. And I'm like, brother, you got the wrong guy. I'm not sick. I don't know. I'll receive if I'm sick and I'm getting, I think you just saw my shirt and saw a slender guy and started kind of going off. Well, he sees that I'm not really getting into it. So he says, put your hand on the lady next to you. So now I'm the healer. And so he starts praying about her through me. And I'm like, so we get in the car and we head back and the car is silent with everybody in the car. And I don't know if I'm glowing, you know, I don't know what's going on. And I get in and finally somebody breaks out. So what was that about? I said, I don't know. Did you feel anything? I didn't. I don't know. And the kid next to me goes, dude, I want you on my basketball team this summer for sure. You're never going to miss a shot. Now, can God use all different ways? Of course he can. But in that moment, it kind of seared me in the wrong direction towards God doing healing. Because it got crazy. It got further than the scripture. And so I want to bring us back today to hear what it says, the people of God praying for those they love, trusting in the power of God. Do you see it? Not trying to get things going in a big event center, not playing off a t-shirt, but to be able to say, I'm calling out on God and asking God to do great things. The oil is symbolic. And yes, it has a medicinal aspect. And it's also a place where we can say, God, we want your presence and your strength. And God doesn't heal everyone. We know that. You live long enough, you can pray. And God doesn't heal everyone like we want it to be. It can be in heaven that they are healed. Think about it like this. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, he says, three times I asked that the thorn in my flesh would be removed, and it wasn't removed, but God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Think of 2 Timothy chapter 4, at verse 20. He's going through the litany of all of his friends that are there, a biography sheet, and he gets to Trophimus, and he says this, I left him sick when I went on my journey. Now, if everybody's going to get healed and Paul's going to be there, surely Paul can get the thing done. But he leaves him sick, and he goes on. Jesus didn't heal everybody in every village. And so we've got to trust in the sovereignty of God and trust in the plan of God. God answers our prayers through medicine, miracle, or heaven sometimes. And we're going to take this in just a moment, Cypress, Luke campus. We're going to pray very biblical fashion to ask God to heal our loved ones and also ask God for healing in your life if you need that. And we're not going to do it crazy, but we're going to do it boldly. And we're going to call out on God and say, Lord, we need you and we want you and we're asking for you to do this. And I'll give you more teaching or more instruction as we go further in Cyprus. Pastor Jason will do the same thing. Now, this verse in verse 16, if you look back at it as well, says, therefore, confess your sins to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. In James' day, they tied sin and sickness together. Okay. Now that's not true. That's not biblical. Okay. Someone's sickness is not God's punishment for their sin. That's why if you were to go into John chapter 9, you may remember this scripture. There's a blind man and they ask, who is the cause of his blindness? Was it his mom's sin or his dad's sin? And he says, neither. It is for the glory of God that this man is blind. And then I'm going to show that in the healing. Okay. But in James's day back then, they had a tendency to connect sin and sickness together. Now, let me quickly say this. Sin can make you sick. If you're doing a whole lot of things you shouldn't be doing, it can ruin your body. It can make you sick. Okay. I tell my kids all the time, when you get to the doctors and they ask you all these questions, do you? You want to be on the person that always checks no. Because if the doctor's asking the question about that sin, you need to go ahead and understand that's not good for you either, right? So we see these two things, not that sin causes sickness, but we do see that sin can make us sick. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? And so here he ties these together and he says, I want you to confess your sins to one another. This is the only place in the New Testament that we're called to confess our sins to another. We're often called to confess our sins to God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you confess your sin to a person that you trust, accountability person, encourager in your life, When you confess your sin in that way, here's what you're doing. You're not gossiping about your sin. You're not bragging about your sin. You're giving them a window into your soul so that they can pray for you in a greater educated way. See it? Someone you love, you say, I'm struggling with, and they say, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to help you. And they connect the dots together. Do you see it? That's the confession that happens there. You don't just tell the whole world. You tell those trusted people that are there. So he says, I want you to confess your sins one to another and allow that to be something that confession takes place so that there's healing in your relationships and in your heart and in your mind and your soul. Now let's look at verse 17. Elijah was a human just as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain for 3 years and 6 months. It's a long time. Then he prayed, remember this whole thing's about prayer, again, and the sky gave rain and the land produced its fruit. Elijah, big time Old Testament prophet. The people of God are worshiping Baal. He was a false god. He was the god of the storms. So Elijah says, if you think the rain's coming from Baal, God, would you just shut this thing down? In an agrarian society, they go through a 3.5-year drought so that they would get on their knees and they would call out. So old camel knees of James says, remember that story of Elijah? And he was praying and he said, we want revival. We're going to pray for it. We're going to ask God to do this. And then he says, and he prayed and the rain came. That's on Mount Carmel where the servant said, do you remember this story? He ran out and he said, I see a cloud the size of a fist on the horizon. He prayed 7 times. Until finally the rain came back. Here's the point he's saying. I don't want you to think when you're praying about things for family and friends, I don't want you to think you got to be some super saint. Elijah, yeah, he was a big time dude, but he was just a normal guy like the rest of us. So all of us, don't be too, T-O-O, T-O-O, yes, got it right, T-O-O, confident to pray. Don't be too busy to pray. Let's be too humble that we know we need prayer and we call out on God just like Elijah. Here's the point. Trust God's timing to heal or to help. 3.5 years. Trust God's timing to heal or to help. And in that timing, we bring our will underneath God's will. How did Jesus say it? Not my will, but yours be done. So I submit my will underneath his will. Now, I've prayed for a lot of people in my time of ministry. Here's what I like to pray. God, I know that you can. I ask that you would. Because what that does for me is that submits me under God's will. I know that you can. You are so powerful. I don't know your plan. I don't know your perfect way. I don't know how you're going to heal. If it's going to be in heaven, it's going to be medicinally, it's going to be medically, or miracle, I should say. But Lord, I'm going to submit my will. I know that you can. I ask that you would. Because if you live as a believer in Christ long enough, you are going to pray for healing for people and they're going to die. And it doesn't need to mess up your whole walk with God. It needs to be a submission underneath what God wanted to do. My wife's cousin, his name was Lane. Lane had just gotten married. Been married just a short time, long enough to have 2 kids, but short time, short window. We actually introduced, Kelly and I introduced Lane and his wife, Erin. Took them on their first date. It was a double date with us. Part of their wedding, all of those things. And then Lane got sick and he died. And we had prayer meetings at our house. We prayed the wallpaper off the wall. We asked God to do great things in his life. Lane did not miss a time with God in his Bible for 17 years straight. Every day, 365, he spent time with God for 17 years straight. Now, I don't tell you that to brag on Lane, but I just want you to know his Christian character. 2 young kids, and he goes on to heaven. We still are, you know, it's family. I know his boys, they're older now, graduating high school and college and all that. But we prayed, we asked, and yet we still had to trust. We know that you can, Lord. We ask that you would. We're just normal human beings. Now, the last word that James is going to give us, and then we're going to jump back and we're going to pray. The last word he's going to give us is in verse 19. About our love and connection together. Verse 19, my brothers and sisters, dear community, family of God in that, If any among you strays from the truth, someone's walking off from the Lord, and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. James's last word to us is stay committed to truth and help others do the same. His last word he's going to give us out of all that we've learned, stay committed to truth. Me and you, stay committed to the word of God. Stay committed to truth. Don't believe everything that's being sold. Stay committed to truth. And then also be a person that helps people return. As you walk with God, there's going to be people that are going to be in your life, and you're going to sense them starting to kind of fray away, come away from the fray, kind of walk away from God. Here's what you do. Here's how you do it. When you love them, you have a relationship with them, you say this: could I talk to you about something for just a moment? I have some concerns, and I've been praying for you. And if they say no, okay, I'm going to keep praying for you. Most likely they're going to say, yeah, what do you want to talk about? I'm a little worried about X, Y, Z. They'll be defensive at first, but I've been praying for you and I just want to help you if there's any way I can. And then you're able to be a part of bringing them back to the Lord, because that's where true life is found, and to allow life in their hearts again. So James wraps his entire book by saying, I want you to care for other people and hold them close to the things of God. And I want you to walk with them. Parents, that's for us. Kids, that's for you to us as parents. It's for our friendships. It's what the church does. We lovingly care for folks to be able to bring them together. So what have we learned here in this passage of scripture? We pray in all circumstances, whether we're cheerful, whether we're suffering, whether we're sick. And that sickness can be a sickness of weariness, exhausted, fatigued, mentally, physically drained. Can be what the Greek means here. It can be sickness of infirmities and disease and all of those sort of things. So we pray through those things. We call upon the church. We invite other people into our lives through confession, because I need you to help me and you need me to help you. And I need you, when we go through a time of sickness, I need you to help me, and I need the church to come around. The leaders of the church is what it means with the elders. So pray for me and put that oil on me, because it symbolizes the Lord, and I want God involved in this. And as I walk this out, I know I'm just human, but yet just in my humanity, I want to be a difference maker, and I want God to use me to help my loved ones to walk with him, because that's where true life is found. So here's what we're going to do. Cyprus, Luke, we're going to put this scripture to work. It's not going to be crazy. It's not going to be weird, but you're going to see the great need that we have. And we're going to pray that God would give healing to our loved ones and even healing to us. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to tell you how we're going to do that. Pastor Jason at Cyprus is going to give leadership there. And then we're going to pray together. We front loaded the message, because I know some of y'all, when the invitation comes in church, we've gotten bad about this. You think it's time to leave. It's the reason why we came. So this is a special moment. And for us to be able to say, God, we want you to do your work, and we want you to move in a great way. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you for the book of James. What a journey. From chapter 1 all the way to chapter 5. And we tell you, God, we need you. We love you. We want you. We ask you that you would do your work in a powerful way. We're praying big prayers, God, in this next few moments. It's not going to get crazy or weird, Father. It's just going to get so powerful. So we come reverently to God, not too confident, but in need. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.